This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Our wrestling podcast. I'm your host with the most, the Southwest Texan Day-Day Cruz, here with my brother, my co-host, Greg DeMarc. What's going on, brother?
Good evening, Southwest.
Man, what a weekend we had last weekend, too. And then we got a great host tonight, a great guest tonight in Drexel. Man, that dude, we're going to hear him run rapid over here on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. And it's a perfect show because Drexel's not PG-13.
Yeah, definitely a rated R. We the first time I seen him live was at the TKW show a couple weeks ago. Went to a war with Chuck Stein.
What a war.
Oh, man, what, you know?
Good footage of that, too. It's going to be coming out soon. But, yeah, also, guys, we're coming to you from Open Talk Radio Flash. Man, Greg, what did you think about last weekend, and are you ready for – this weekend's going to be a hell of a show also.
I tell you, Pro Wrestling All-Stars they're really on par with the best shows in town. Fire matches, awesome stories, and they're coming right out of this reset, and, they came out, starting with nothing, no story. Very little carried over from what was going on pre-pandemic, and Pro Wrestling All-Stars, they actually run at venues, outdoors of course, but at venues, so they didn't start running until just a couple months ago. It was
July,
August,
June.
I believe.
No,
was their first.
It was like June or July.
I think it was August, and then Capital Vices got the first shot. No, you're right. July,
like,
and then
July,
August,
and August was
the
first one that Capital Vices came to.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, guys, man, this weekend was a fan appreciation night last week on the 18th. Appreciation Part 1. We got two parts.
I didn't catch that until we were at the show.
Yeah.
And they mentioned
Part 1. It was Part 1. So this Friday night, guys, back at Fan Appreciation Night Part 2, we're gonna be at Play Atlantis in Melvindale, Michigan. It's going to be a great show. Seats are just $5, guys, just $5. And that's going to be one hell of a show because we had a crowning of both, actually, PWAS Tag Team Champions and Horror Slam Tag Team Champions. What a freaking night, guys. So we started off with LJ Lawrence defeating Gio Bronco. And Gio Bronco, man, I like his character. I like his gimmick, dude. He's got such a great character, and he's good in the ring.
I do like Gio Bronco. I think in a year, if he gets in the right stories with the right guys, he'll definitely, be one of the shining stars around here. Relatively new to me.
I mean, yeah, he's new to me too, but the last time, no.
Guy's not green. I'm not saying the guy's green at all. He's just relatively new to me. I'm not really spoken with the guy. Sure. Exactly how long he's been around, but, I've just been seeing him this summer.
No, yeah, that's the same with me. I've seen him at the first Knights of Columbus show that they did in Southwest. He actually he had a lot of respect, you know what I'm saying, because I was just sitting there, and he came up, and he's like, hey, you know, my name is Gio, and I introduced myself, you know, my name's a Texan. And, man, we actually got to have Gio on the show soon. That'd be
yeah,
good.
We do. We have questions we need answers to, Gio.
We always do. So, yeah, that was the first pre-show match of the night of the evening. That was a great match, back and forth. But, you know, LJ Lawrence came out on top with the dub. And it was just a great match. And then the pre-show match number two was Sean Longhorn versus old school Rick Cartier. Now, that dude, I love his gimmick. Rick Cartier got a good gimmick. And that dude is just a great – he's going to be one of the greatest heels pretty soon as he rises. You know what I'm saying? He was trained by the undeniable one, Briar Wellington. I mean, if you're trained by Briar Wellington, you're undeniable yourself.
One thing I want to point out in that match, it was one of the highlights of the night to me. Sean Lawhorn whips Rick Cartier, who – I mean, I'm not going to say anything, but I'd say he's a 300-pound guy.
Yeah.
A good 300-pound guy, and caught him in a, you know, side slam.
Suplex.
Yeah, like a side suplex slam type of way. I mean, completely caught him out of the air. Unbelievable show of strength by Sean Longhorn.
But Sean Longhorn actually won by disqualification, by countout. So, I mean, maybe they'll have a rematch this weekend. Oh, no, it's Chuck Stein versus Cartier this weekend.
It is in a Downriver Street Fight.
Downriver Street Fight in Melvindale, Michigan at Play Atlantis. Make sure you be there.
$5.
Fan Appreciation Night, Part 2. So, yeah. So, on to the main show. Match number one was the junior heavyweight champion defending his championship, TJ Myers, defending against Mitch Hewitt.
Boo,
Mitch Hewitt! He went on and, It went on to be a draw.
It went on to be some bullshit. So before the match, Kenny Urban posts up at ringside in his lawn chair in the front row, and his punk ass didn't even pay. And sits his ass right down next to us and eventually interjects himself in the match, you know, kind of bullying his way into the title picture. Like,
yeah, he did.
Who the fuck is this bum beat?
I know. I don't even know who the fuck he is.
Fuck Kenny Urban.
Fuck, I know who he is.
And he's a decent talent, but I don't know. I don't like that way to go about doing things. Like, you know, let whoever wins the match
win the match.
Show up his ass. You
yeah.
know, then attack the champion. Do it New Japan style. New Year's
right.
Dash style.
New Year's Dash.
You know?
Yeah.
Attack the fucking champ. Let him know.
I'm next.
Right.
Yep.
And maybe fucking beat somebody.
Right. You haven't even fucking won any match in PWAS to even get a championship match.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't see why you're
Beat a scrub. Do something.
Nah, sure. He can't even beat any scrubs in PWAS.
What about AVZ?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That is a scrub. He's a good talent, though, also. But
yeah, but I hate the guy.
I don't like him either. So, yeah, that match was pretty good. It came out to be a count-out. So, next week's show.
Yeah, and fuck Kenny Urban for ruining a good match, man.
It was,
a good match for him. So, now this weasels his way into a triple threat match
for the junior heavyweight championship.
So, yeah, Mitch now instead of finishing, and fuck you, Mitch Hewitt. And for me, why I say that, he, for me, is what John Cena was to the Last Generation. And
oh,
Roman Reigns.
God.
Yes.
Everybody
loves Mitch Hewitt. I'm like, dude, fuck Mitch Hewitt.
Mitch.
I'm wearing a Detroit Punk shit, and the guy comes by me. I'm like, boo. He's like, fuck you. I'm like, yeah, fuck you.
Fuck you, buddy. So, yeah, that match was a good match, but, I mean...
Yeah, but Mitch is getting screwed out of his one-on-one, because
Mitch
doesn't
Mitch didn't deserve a shot.
And now he's got to worry about Kenny Urban, you know, and then on the other hand, TJ's got the trip to worry about, too, and, no, that wasn't earned, that wasn't warranted, I hate it, I think that we should have a clear winner between TJ Meyer and Mitch Hewitt, and then Kenny Urban.
Gets the next
if he could beat somebody,
beat
but whatever.
He hasn't even beat
done is done. Rivera's an idiot. We'll talk more about that later.
So more
if you don't know,
F-I-O that shit. Hell yeah, in the words of Steven Rivera, F-I-O, figure this shit out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, match number two, man. We're going to move on to match number two, which was an inter-promotional tag team triple threat match for the Horror Slam Tag Team Champions.
Wow.
As the champions, the former champions, I'm going to say, the champions defended their championship. Bulking season defended their championship against Arthur and Chuck Stone and
they
the Big Cone Boys.
They're
all Parkinson's. My bad, guys.
I kind of like Arthur MacArthur. When I first seen him at Horseman, I was like, fuck this guy, but I don't know, he's kind of growing.
But they faced Daddy's Money. They both faced Daddy's Money. And that was,
Okay, Kenny Urban could beat either of those guys, too.
Yeah.
ABC was the trainer that Daddy's Money.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I definitely agree with you on that one.
Nah, just another couple guys I love to hate, dude.
No, they
shithead gimmicks.
I'm gonna say they're fucking gimmicks. Did you see the promotional video? Did you see the promotional video, dude?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's definitely it is. And
But Bitcoin boys, man, I mean, feel it's what I just had.
Dude, that was
them.
A freaking
and
match.
Individually, it's you know, but man, together. They're an awesome tag team.
Yes, they are. I agree with you on that. And they're actually fast because, you know, we've seen them run. They're actually fast. But, remember?
Yeah.
They were chasing Jeremiah Golden.
Yeah, they're a couple assholes. Chase Jeremiah
Golden. Hey.
Jeremiah is graceful like a fucking gazelle.
God. Every week, guys, you see the pattern with this every week with Greg DeMarc, like, everything Jeremiah does is so-called Golden.
The guy is like a fucking gazelle.
Oh,
he ran about
God.
35, 40 miles an hour.
Are you guys as sleepy as I am to listen to this junk that you're talking, guys?
But, yeah, that happened after the show.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, Bitcoin boys, they came out on top and became the new Horror Slam Tag Team Champions of the World.
Well deserved, man.
Yes,
he's
what
got,
a match.
The one guy had a nasty landing on his leg. I mean, he was hurt.
When he's
limping, when you see the footage of this match and you see him limping, let me tell you, from the front row, when he landed in front of me, that man was hurt. And the things he did after he hurt his leg, even at the end of the match, high flying, running, jumping,
still came
impressive.
Still came out on top. That was a great match. I was watching it with the Undeniable One, and we were just talking. I don't know. But the next match after that, guys, was Chince Jeff Jesus, my dude. With your boy. With your boy, the 24 karat plated guy, whatever his name is.
That guy that elevated Chin Strap Jesus to the main event.
Well, quit hating on Chin Strap Jesus because he's with your boy. So why hate on him?
Because I am true above all things. You know what I mean? Like,
he's very
intelligent to have associated himself with someone like Goldmane. He needed a manager like Goldmane.
Oh, God. He didn't really need him. Be honest. Anyways, as I was saying, Jeremiah Goldmane and Chin Strap Jesus went against Atlas Hightower, and that was with special guest referee Mr. FIO himself, Steven Rivera.
This guy, man, he needs to stick to announcing the fucking matches. Seriously.
I mean, you got to give it to him. He is one part of the best faction in all of Michigan.
The faction's dead. When Briar Wellington left the threat, forget it, okay? It's dead. It'll never be what it was. And Nate Maxson, fuck that guy. You still owe me a tequila sunrise, a Coke, and some fucking chicken strips. Fuck you, Nate Maxson. But Nate Maxson, who is pretty damn good, is not there. The undeniable king of the undisputed one is not there. The threat is Steven Rivera's mouth, and it's nothing but that threat.
Jesus Christ, So Hightower,
he may get his neck broke tomorrow.
Yeah, he is. He's going to get multiple cutters, and that's going to be that.
We were promised 10 by Atlas Hightower.
Mr. Run the Ring, shout out to Atlas Hightower for all the great gear, and I'm ready. I prayed order the fucking run this ring pink. Bro, cut the cancer shirt, the breast cancer shirt.
Yeah, shout out
to them.
We're gonna call her Atlas Hightower's business manager, Jamie Finch.
Jamie Finch.
Hit her up, bro. She's making beautiful,
great shirts.
Man, shirts, masks,
the cup holders.
Thing to keep a can cold. You know,
stickers,
you know,
everything, all sorts.
And man, at the best price at any merch table in the area.
Yeah.
But man, they're charging $20 for the shirt and giving
$8
from every shirt sale. The pink luminous ring is going towards
the breast cancer donation. Yeah.
And Horror Slam is doing limited edition with the pink hand and glitter and non-glitter. And theirs are $20. And pro organization, but to a specific organization affiliated with cancer. And, man, shout out to Horror Slam for that. And
everybody.
To Jamie for that.
And Soldier Boy.
And
Jeremiah Goldman.
Fuck cancer above all things, man.
Forget cancer. And you know what? My mom was a cancer survivor, breast cancer survivor. And, man, I used to love buying her breast cancer things, dude. And I would have been buying her all these indie wrestling freaking everything. But, yeah.
That was a good excuse to rock some pink every now and then.
Oh, no. I'd rock pink any time of the day, dude. Pink is for pimps. So, anyways, pretty soon our guest of the evening, Mr. Drexel, is off. Actually, he's here. So, everybody, welcome our guest for the evening, Mr. Drexel.
Guys, how are you guys doing?
How you doing?
Man, we're awesome. Thank you
for
joining us.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you for having the time to come to the show.
No problem. You know, I'm out here in the land of roses and lights. You know, I'm busy making plans to be the supreme overlord of the anarchist jurisdiction known as Portland. But in between that, you know, I got time to talk for podcasts and, you know, looking for new bookings and whatnot and places where I can legally stab people in a ring. So how is it in Murder City today?
Oh, man.
Man,
great.
It's a beautiful day in Murder City, and I'd love to see you at Horror Slam.
We would love it, man, because Chuck, the match you had with Chuck Stein, man, I was recording the whole thing. Murder scene.
Yeah, well, you know, go ahead, tell them, let them get a hold of me. I'm not really hard to find. I'd love to work Horror Slam sometime. I actually grew up in the Detroit area, so it's always fun to go home and excuse to go see my family. So since I live on the other side of the country.
Right, right. We'll definitely let them know. Rachel Breyer, you heard it from Drexel himself. Book the man. He wants to make a trip home so we can see him at Horror Slam.
So, I've been hearing, man, that you got a really big match coming up.
Yes,
really
sir. Against one of the greats.
I was excited that they announced it yesterday so that I could talk about it today. I'm traveling out to New Jersey for a little no-holds-barred fun with a little honey badger. I'm really, really excited about it because, you know, out here on the West Coast, death matches are, especially Pacific Northwest, is kind of frowned upon by commission. So I'm the king of Northwest hardcore. I usually push the limits as far as they allow me out here, but I get told no a lot, especially up in Washington and the Seattle area. They say no to a lot of things that I want to do. So being able to go and work no holds barred against someone who just is pretty much just as stupid and just as crazy as me is kind of thrill. It's going to be so much fun to try to, like, I don't know, skin a honey badger. I don't know if you guys saw it when I wrestled Chuck Steen. I had Mr. Pointy, and that's one of my organic deathmatch tools that I use to try to pry up people's fingernails. And actually, that is a badger claw on the end of that. So I plan on using badger claws against the honey badger. So
ooh,
sounds
nice,
like
a
great strategy to me.
Yeah. So talking about deathmatch, what made you choose deathmatch over pro wrestling? What drew you to the deathmatch part?
I don't consider myself a deathmatch wrestler. I like going out there and entertaining people in sick ways, and you know, and deathmatch is just a different way to do it, and it's just a another avenue. But I've been doing this for 15 years, and I've had lots of trainers on every end of the spectrum. I started training originally with the grappler Len Denton, who was really big down in Mid-South, world class, and up in Portland. And then I trained with Playboy Buddy Rose, and then I trained with Dr. Luther from FM. I trained with Norman Smiley. I'm not just a death wrestler. I look at myself as more, but deathmatch is just, I don't know, it's something different. And it's what I enjoy especially about ICW is it's a unique painting that you're making using just pure brutality. But like ICW has a unique way of doing it where everyone has a character, because I love watching Eddie Only. He cracks me up. I was laughing so hard, him versus Slack at the last show. And I like a little bit of difference in my death matches. So that's what I'm hoping to bring out to ICW. Just, I don't know, I had a little kink to that chain around the ring.
Oh, yeah, I can see that happening because, man, when we've seen you live at TKW, it was something different, man. Like just to see you get Chuck Steiner was something different. Because I've seen him go against a lot of people. And you mentioned
how much fun it
was going to be to it's definitely I always say I appreciate match wrestling for, you know, I love wrestling, all wrestling, and I can appreciate when it's, you know, done well by wrestlers, the story a death match tells. Even, you know, there's like, you know, your hardcore special matches, they have their places at the end of a feud, and deathmatch wrestling has its place and tells its own story. And
right.
When it's done well, to me, it's another genre of wrestling that me as a wrestling fan just enjoy. Differently, I guess.
It can be such it's a different, as a wrestler, I mean, it's a different form of creativity. Anyone can go out there and smash each other in the face with light tubes. I have seen plenty of deathmatch shows and that's all it is. And honestly, by match 3 or 4, I'm really bored. You know, you can only watch people do the exact same shit over and over again. And that goes for any wrestling show. When I go to a show, I want to see a variety. I don't want to see the strictly super indie, everyone's going to have 150 false finishes and then end it with a roll-up and everything's exactly the same and everyone has done, you know, every single spot under the sun. I don't want to watch that. That bores me. Watching a show that's just all guys hitting each other with the same shit over and over again, that bores me. What I want is variety. I want people to go out there and make me actually think, make me just guttural reactions. That's one of my favorite things, is when people just look at what's going on and they just know it hurts. They know just that inside thing in their head. They don't even have to see it happen. Like anytime I try to paper cut a man's eye, I always end up pausing just to watch the entire crowd's face turn in horror at the thought of someone paper cutting your eye. You know, it just.
The cheese grater does that for me, man.
Yeah. I like doing that, especially in death matches. You get to do that the entire time. I mean, you're just building a world that no one, the average person could think, yes, I could get in a wrestling ring. Yes, I would probably get my ass kicked. But yes, I would probably walk away. That same average person watches a death match, they're never going to say that. They're going to say, yes, I could get in that ring. No, I might die. That is a beautiful thing. And I consider myself a homicidal artist by trade. After 15 years of taking way too many unprotected headshots, homicidal artist,
shit.
You know, when I put down for occupation.
Yeah, there you go. So talking about all the stuff in deathmatch, man. Like, so what I heard Tul say is that he don't need to just come here for Horror Slam. He could come spend a whole weekend collecting you know, collecting souls. And, yeah. I mean, man, we got a lot of really good promotions here. And, you know, Pro Wrestling All-Stars, Metro Pro Wrestling,
XIPW,
of course.
Along with,
yeah.
TKW.
A lot of weekends. We had four shows here the weekend you were here.
Yeah. Oh,
including the day of.
Oh, yeah. I know. I had talked to that other promoter, but we couldn't work out a deal that day for another death match. But I definitely want to come back as much as possible. I first time I wrestled in Detroit was last year. It was for Metro Pro, and that's where I actually Peter B had happened to be at the show. We met each other and got in contact, and then he's the one that hit me up about Total Chaos, asked me if I'd be willing to come out. I said sure, and I thought I was going to be wrestling him, and then he's like Chuck Steen, and I'm like, all right, cool. That sounds like
yeah.
No, I got a long list.
I would have liked to see you
in Detroit. I'd love to wrestle.
I would love to see you and Peter B go at it.
Yeah.
You and Peter, look, a triple threat. Him, Peter, and Chuck. Fans bring the weapon.
So much fun.
Dude, I would love to record it because I recorded your guys' last match. I got some great footage. I'm going to put it up soon, and I will tag you with it.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
yeah,
we can always
send me the
information. I can always send you the raw footage, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I just get it posted, and I will. I don't get on the internet enough making my own videos and stuff over the years. I did when I was younger, but now I don't know. I'm in my own little world, and I kind of look at it after 15 years of this as people are going to know me or they're not. And doors are going to open or they're not going to open. So that's how I
tell you, you really impressed me, man.
Things. And I don't stress the small shit, like, I don't know, reality. So I just go with the flow and I don't know. I seem to be doing pretty well. People ask me, like, why I don't travel more. But up until COVID, I was booked quite constantly between Canada, Washington, Oregon, and California. Most weekends, I was booked two or three times. So I stayed very busy working for lots of different companies. And now that the West Coast is shut down until 2021, it's forced me to come out of my hole and go travel a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. Like, man,
we got no athletic commission on our ass too. Remember that?
Yeah, I know. It makes it a lot easier because out here, if we wanted to even try to do an outlaw show, they would pull licensing, and then once shows would be legal again, you wouldn't be able to run. So, can't take those.
Yeah,
chances.
They That's what Horseland did when they did the undisclosed location. It was 12 shows.
I saw that. It's so weird to me after 15 years. The Total Chaos show is the first time that I've ever actually wrestled in a backyard, literally in a backyard. And I'm looking around this isn't a backyard show, but I'm in a backyard. And it's so weird now that COVID has hit and you look around and shows are just running wherever they can run. I mean, including ICW. Because as far as I know, this show in October is in the middle of a goddamn cornfield, which that just sounds fun itself. I'm going to go find a scarecrow to bring to the ring with me just to dance with.
Yeah, man, everybody's running. Like, GCW was running backyard shows with Jimmy Lloyd and them, and then they started doing ones in the parks of, I want to say, New York, New Jersey, and all that other stuff, man. Like you said, everybody was trying to run everywhere that they could. Like, they had one, Horseham had one in my backyard. I was the second location.
That's actually really cool. I mean, to look out your yard and be able to just, hey, I've got wrestling going on. I wish
that was a lot of fun.
Ring out in my backyard, but
we had almost 100 people show up.
I bet your neighbors were just thrilled.
They're awesome. Oh, no
neighbors, because we went to house after house. I was like, hey, if you guys want some food, you know, we got a show going on.
Yeah,
I want to show up.
Two grills going.
I was like, y'all want some food? Come down. Just don't call the cop.
Yeah, that's right.
Because when the police showed up at Total Chaos, I went walking by them. The looks I got, as I still had makeup and blood and a couple staples stuck in my head. I already get weird looks every time I come back to Michigan, just being me, for the fact that I'm a weirdo with a big long beard and blonde dreadlocks, mohawk, and my tattoos all over. And having makeup on makes it even worse. I've quite often been called at fast food restaurants. People ask me if they need to call 911 for me if something's wrong, especially after matches when I'm on the road.
They showed up near the end of your match, and they stayed for the – and they began to gain greater number as the Mickey Knuckles-Peter B. match went on. And – yeah, we pretty much, when we were leaving, like, nobody would even look at him. We're just no-selling him, walking to our cars like, yeah, see ya.
They stayed. And because I was talking to Chuck. I was in the back trying to take as much makeup off of it as I could in the dark. And I had a couple of the staples Chuck put in me had fully closed. And I didn't have pliers to get them out. So I was sitting back there trying to pick the things out. Yeah, it was really I started picking them first at the merchandise table during Peter and Mickey Knuckles' match, to which Movado just kind of looks at me. I was like, hey, are you good at pulling these things out? And he goes, no. I was like, all right, never mind. But he did check the rest of my body and pointed out where I had other staples still so I could pull them out. But the look on Movado's face as I was trying to pry these staples out of my head, kind of close.
I'm surprised Movado doesn't sell a gimmick that does that.
I was looking. I was hoping maybe a bottle opener. I might have been able to pry it out a little bit easier, but I didn't see it. But by the time I left, most people had gone, but the police were still there. And then they watched with my big roller bags rolling, going down the street with staples still stuck in my head. And I'm sure there was still black eye makeup around my face and some white and probably definitely dried blood still across my head. And they just stared at me the entire time. And I just had this feeling like, I'm about to get pulled over in my grandmother's car, and I know she's not going to be happy about it. And I'm way too old to worry about that shit.
But they did it. We all got out of there without incident.
No, they just watched me go, and I waved, and I still had my thing. So I was giving notes and to harass the weird guy with the dreadlocks that I'm assuming they just know is probably on drugs of some kind.
So when we show up there, like we said, we talked to all the neighbors. You mentioned the neighbor thing. There, I know you noticed. There's one neighbor has two trash cans and some caution tape and a sign talking about don't park in front of my house. And I said, I said, dude, in a couple hours, the cops are going to show up here. And those motherfuckers right there, they're going to call.
Yep.
I think it was like 9 o'clock. I'm like, dude, it's not noise ordinance, dude. Noise ordinance is 10 o'clock. Fuck them.
Yeah. It was just too many cars out in the area and you know, nosy neighbors.
We were all parked legally on the side of the road. We were parked on a city easement on the, you know, we were all parked legally. That's why, I mean, nobody that I know of got any kind of ticket, but yeah, he was going to be that neighbor. There was no doubt who that neighbor on that block is.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I've gotten so used to most of my immediate neighbors just assume I'm going to be trouble. You know, I'm a complete hermit that never has people over and prefers to not leave my house. If I could just stay with my dog and never leave the house, minus going out to wrestling, then life would be absolutely perfect. But all my neighbors stare at me like that all the time. I moved to Florida for a few years when I had trained at FCW with Norman Smiley. And when I moved down there, all my neighbors the first few weeks would not speak to me. They would just stare out their windows at me.
And then after about a month of being there, they all started talking to me and said, well, we were expecting trouble just with the amount of tattoos you had and the fact that you have a mohawk. And I just kind of laughed. And I'm just like, no, like I cause, like my job is to cause trouble. When I go home, this is my sanctuary. This is my cave. And in fact, don't come knock on my door because I'm not the guy that's going to help you. I'm going to be the guy that you never see. So let's just keep it at that.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's for sure, man. So, talking about also, you know, deathmatch in Michigan, you know, is there anybody that you have that you want to face over here in the Midwest?
I don't know if it's specifically Midwest. I mean, the 440 guys are all on a list. I was actually supposed to face Ricky Shane Page. What was it? It was like March 20 something, right before COVID shut everything down. I had a Rose City death match scheduled in Portland for Prestige Wrestling against Ricky Shane Page, and that was canceled. And then Mania Weekend, I was in a three-way Casanova Valentine and Mance Warner, and that also got canceled.
Nice.
Those three guys come to mind immediately, but then the rest of 440, like I said, Eddie only cracks me up. And besides trying to keep myself from laughing in the ring, I would love to actually face him. Peter B, just since I've gotten to him, I think we would have a lot of fun and some good chemistry in the ring. But I'm pretty much open to you know, like I said, I'm a hardcore guy. Most of these guys have way more deathmatch experience than me, but I come from a weird spot, so and I'm not really afraid of glass or anything, so I think I can do this deathmatch thing pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. I got to say, it was my first time seeing you at TKW,
and
I was impressed. More like I said, I'm a wrestling guy, the character. I was, you know, drawn in by the character.
Nazi like this character. Even before,
yeah.
My niece,
awesome.
Our niece was actually watching you from her seat. She's like, man, she's like, I want to go take a picture with him. I was like, you should go take a picture with him. And she's like, no. And I started laughing. It was funny.
I do a lot of family, all ages shows. And children either loved me or they're scared absolutely shitless. You know, just they lose their mind if they're stuck coming near me. And then other kids look at me like I'm some cartoon character, and they have no fears. But I think most of the fights I've had with fans have been involving because of children and whatnot. A few years ago, actually it's probably about five, six years ago now, I had after a match, a child was clapping for me, and I didn't enjoy it. So I came marching up to the child, and I looked him right in the eye, and I said, don't you clap at me, just like that. I turned around to walk through the curtain, and I walked through the curtain to the back, and all of a sudden, here comes this father with the small child who's bawling, being dragged behind him. He tells me he wants to fight me because I've now made his child cry.
Oh, my God.
And I start laughing because I'm like, are you serious? You're coming to fight a wrestler. And the promoter got in between us, and the guy's screaming and yelling, and he's going, he made my child cry. And the promoter's like, he's made my child cry. This is a pro wrestling show, sir. And
right.
The guy's demanding an apology. And so I'm like, I will end this right now. And I looked at the child and I said, hey, I'm the devil and I do bad things. Get over it. That's life. And I walked away. I hope the child took a life lesson. And then, you know, I've also walked up to people and tell them that they smell different when they're awake. And when you say that to someone, sometimes it takes a minute, but once they get it, they're pretty creeped out.
Jesus.
I've told children that I'll be waiting under their bed like the boogeyman. And, you know, I've actually had parents tell me that they have pictures of me that they will pull out like I am the boogeyman to their child, which, you know, is as far as trying to warm my black
now,
heart,
that's a compliment.
About as much as you can get. Yes, exactly.
That might be the ultimate compliment right there.
I've got
I threaten
few,
my
like,
children
life,
with a picture
life,
of you.
Life yeah. goals and bucket list things, and being a horror movie villain is definitely one of them. So if I could be at least a few children out there, if I could be their boogeyman, you know, that just makes me feel nice and cold inside the way it should be since I'm dead in there.
Man, I was scared of Kamala when I was a little kid, and that's funny. That came back to me when my son was scared shitless of Congo Kong. And one day, and he finally met him, you know, and Congo's cool with him and made sure he wasn't scared. But, you know, it just got me thinking, like, man, he's lucky that's not Drexel that was scared of him, because he
yeah.
feeds on that shit.
Yeah.
Congo, he sells kid-sized shirts, man. He wanted the kid to like
it. It all depends on the child. If the child seems curious about it, you know, I might play nice, and I'll make sure that I make a memorable impression, but I won't go after him. But when I see a child who tries to act tough and tries to act like they're not scared, those are the ones that I really like to go at. I really like to crush false. I like to crush false pride and false bravery that some of these kids try to put forth. But those are usually the ones that the parents go after, because I'm kind of scarring their brain a little bit, I believe.
That's great. Oh, even more. Man, you got to come to PWAS. It's an all-ages show. There's so many shows for you to scare the shit out of.
Hell,
I'm
yeah.
telling you, man, it would be so fun. And you know who is a regular there? Peter B. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Stein.
Well, you guys got probably more connections in the Detroit area than me. So you guys know
I
how
will
to get a hold of
Steven
me.
Rivera.
We will see him tomorrow. We're going to make sure we make magic happen over here.
Man, we would love.
Cool. We would love to have you.
Bring you in. We had Capital Vices on.
Yeah,
and Aaron came up
came
and challenged the tag team champion.
They challenged Peter B. Beautiful and Percy Jewis.
And they ended up getting the first opportunity, and then ultimately after that, a 2 out of 3 falls match.
They came up for
the show. At PWAS.
Yeah.
And actually that weekend they came, they worked at TKW and at XICW the next day. So, yeah, I'd love to.
Awesome.
We'd
love to
plant some seeds, man, and see them grow. We would love to try to help you plant those seeds.
Steve, Briar, Rachel, we know you're listening, and if you're not, you know you're going to talk to you guys. We're going to message you guys, talk to you guys. We want Jeff to on the show.
I'm very reasonable
Green
to deal
this
with.
Evening.
Especially, I mean, if it's multiple shows, it makes it even easier. So I'm all for coming for an entire weekend and doing a bunch of shows anytime.
Man,
especially
I tell
if
you,
the promoters are willing
for,
to work
for
together,
us
so.
As some fans, those can get to be some expensive weekends. Boy, that three-shot weekend with
man.
Enzo.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Oh,
and the kids. Oh, my God.
Jesus, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the same thing happens out here in Pacific Northwest, and people will drive up to, I don't know, probably up to about 4 or 5 hours for shows in between, like, Portland and Seattle and some of the outskirts cities. And some weekends I'll see the same fans at 3 different shows, and I'll think, wow, I've already went through, like, 2 tanks of gas this weekend, so I can only imagine how much they're spending, so.
Yeah, for sure, man. And it's the truth, man. Gas ain't cheap.
Oh, no.
Gas ain't
cheap. No, I mean, for me out here in the Pacific Northwest, it's, you know, it's a minimum for, I'm based in Portland, so maybe a couple hours south for another big city for Eugene, about 3.5 hours north for Seattle. You got Spokane, that's about like 7 hours away. You got Vancouver, BC up in Canada, which is about 7 hours away. Or if I head south, I can about 9.5 hours gets me down to Oakland and San Fran, because I'll occasionally work Hood Slam down there. I really love doing their
stuff.
How about
Colorado?
I've never been to Colorado, but I've heard.
Isn't that where Chewy Martinez is?
I'm not sure. Not positive.
Chewy, man, is a hell. I've never seen him live. There was discussion of him possibly coming to Horror Slam at some point, but man, a great deathmatch wrestler I think you would have a lot of fun with. And they got the Slave to the Deathmatch tournament coming up, too.
Yep, over there in Denver.
Oh, okay. I'll be checking that out at some point. I know Peter B. already sent me links and stuff like that. I was excited for him and Chuck.
It's only $10 on Fight. I'm definitely going to order it, man. So we got Jeff King, Briar Wellington, Chuck Stein, and Peter B. are traveling out. Oh, yeah, and Aiden Blackheart.
That's awesome. I was wrong about Jeff King. Detroit area. Chuck Stein, Aiden Blackheart.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I was excited to see the Detroit scene is really actually starting to build up because you're hearing and seeing these guys a lot more out there. So it's fun.
And I just love to try to get the word out there.
Deathmatch wrestling isn't just confined to the Northeast like it was before. I mean, because when I started about 15 years ago, the only thing really going on was, you know, you had CZW. After most of the companies shut down, it just kind of died out and is very much an underground thing. And unless you lived in those areas, there was no way to really make enough money to travel across the states for it. I know at one point I had met Masada and him and a friend were dating and we had hung out a bunch. And it was when I was living in Florida and he wanted to get me up to CZW, but they couldn't get I think it was who was it? I forget who was in charge at the time, but they couldn't get him to pay my flight to go up, and I had a problem at that point. I wasn't about to buy my way up to a show, so. But that's kind of why I never did it earlier. But now that it's becoming more of a viable thing, and becoming, I don't know. I hate to say. It's more of a deathmatch wrestling is becoming cooler on the underground scene and more of a hipster type crowd. And with those people comes a nice wallet to buy merchandise, to buy tickets, and to actually make deathmatch wrestling and companies doing deathmatch wrestling be able to tour around the country, which is pretty amazing because I've seen some of the plans for ICW coming up, and between them and GCW, it's a good time to be doing a little bit of hardcore stuff out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's most definitely deathmatch wrestling.
I like
the,
not
wrestling.
Just deathmatch wrestling, but like I feel like, I swear to God, there's not awareness out there for not only deathmatch wrestling, but independent wrestling. Because I've been a wrestling fan my whole life, man. Literally, since before I could talk. I was like 2. Tommy Rich was my first favorite wrestler. You know, in the early 80s, I was born in 81. And, you know, but I found by accident an indie show, XICW, and Shane Douglas was on the show. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get to meet Shane Douglas. And, man, all the wrestling I seen that night, I'm like, oh, my God, there's, like, all this talent, all this good wrestling, like, wrestling the way I like wrestling. And I just feel like any wrestling fan to experience the indie event would – keep coming back, and they do. You just got to get them there.
It's so much different. Yep. I mean, it's for fans that have never experienced a closeness. It's so much different. I was born in 75, and my very first wrestling show was 1984 or 1985. It was the Michigan State Fairgrounds, and the main event, they had wrestling during the state fair, and it was Hogan versus Greg Valentine. Valentine was the IC champion and was for the world championship. And then who else? The Bulldogs were on that show, Junkyard Dog. It was absolutely amazing. It was a small child. I think it was probably like, I'm assuming it was probably 84, but I was probably 9 or 10, and that was my first show. And then my first indie show was probably about 91. It was when I was in high school, and wrestling was very much a not cool thing to be a fan of. So I snuck off one Friday or Saturday night, and I remember seeing Al Snow versus Sabu on that show. And that's where I actually first discovered Al Snow, Sabu, Rob Van Dam, who were all doing all the indies at that point. So, and it was
that's
a lot
like a fire
different.
Show.
And I think,
yeah, definitely.
What was that?
That sounds like a fire-ass show.
Sounds like a banger.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were doing, those three guys were doing most of the indie shows between Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio at that point, doing main events between each other. And then I remember my first ECW show was probably about 96 down in Florida. And that also blew my mind because it was like an indie event of being so close and so in your face, but at the same time, so much bigger and with bigger names. Like I remember Bam Bam Bigelow and Bigelow and Van Dam, one of my first shows I ever saw for ECW. And just seeing like Bigelow up close in person, and the two of them went brawling out and destroyed the merchandise table, which I had been sitting right by. So, I was truly in love with hardcore wrestling because of ECW. And when I did get into wrestling, it's probably what drew me to do more hardcore stuff and not being afraid to take those chances.
Nice, nice, nice. So remember when we were talking about bringing you into the Midwest with Brian Wellington?
Yes.
So actually we have the Undeniable King on right now on the line with us.
Greetings, Briar.
Yeah. We would like to introduce you to our friend, our great friend,
Undeniable Briar Wellington.
Hey, what's going on, bros?
How are you, Briar? How's it going?
Good to hear from you. Pretty well. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Just psyching myself up for this movie tomorrow, man. We're filming Boxer vs. Wrestler in West Virginia tomorrow, so it should be pretty cool. Trying to psych myself up for it right now.
Well, you know, if you're filming anything, it's going to be a lot of standing around. That's the worst thing about filming stuff like that. Hey,
yeah.
Get ready. Get all psyched up. Now sit here and wait for the next
one. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I've been told. Yeah, that's what I've been told, too. But, you know, there's a lot of good things going on. Like it's pretty cool. Like, we got our pay-per-view taken away from us, and now, like, we end up landing on, you know, like kind of like featured a lot of our stars with Primos in Denver, and that's on October 3rd, and that's live on Fight TV, which is pretty. We're pretty geeked for that.
We were just talking about that.
Slade to the Death Match, man. It's gonna be dope, man. I'm wrestling. I am the provider. He's like the owner of their company, and it's like I'm the kind of like the other owner of Horus Lamb. So it's like pretty sweet, you know. Two great minds coming together. To do like it's kind of like a death match, so we're doing 100,000 thumbtacks, so I'm pretty geeked about it.
Nice, that's awesome. Congrats on that, by the way. Peter had sent me a link the other day. To see the Detroit death match scene grow to the point that what like three quarters of that tournament are overall Midwest Detroit type guys. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
To represent it.
Oh yeah, dude. And another thing too, though, there's a lot of like guys on the come up too. I think like there's a lot of like guys that a lot of people don't really put in that category, but like they're really like dabbling in it and they're already like really talented wrestlers. Like as it is, like Tommy Vendetta did a death match. I think he's done a few now. So he's done like stuff with Jeff King and I think Jimmy Lloyd even. So like he's dabbling in it too. And then the kid, Ryan Cruz from Ohio, one of the Ohio kids, you know, the young boys, he had a great match. We just watched it with Dirty White Boy Chuck Stein. I mean, it was like, dude, this kid's like, you know, he's only like 22, maybe, you know, 21. And he's like hanging with Chuck, man, killing it. Yeah, like teeth doing
awesome.
Light tubes, you know, staple gun, everything, man. Like he's going all out. Like kid's got heart, you know. But there's a lot.
So, Briar, have you caught Drexel's death match with Chuck Stein from TKW?
No, there's a few new.
Man,
I
will come to your house and show you the match tonight.
Yeah,
and dude, it's a banger. I tell you, man, as the Horus Slam heavyweight champion, I think you need to face Drexel.
Yes, we need to make that happen.
I hear a lot about him, and like then I seen the promo pic with him for No Holds Barred, and I was like, wow, this is like a horror. He is a Horus Slam, you know, like he's a Horus Slam guy.
He is
Horus
Slam. That's what I'm
saying.
He's
a Horus Slam guy all the way, 100%.
Well, I know you guys had a connection with Hood Slam also, and I've worked with Hood Slam quite a bit, and me and Dark Sheik have been friends for probably 15 years now, so there's a connection.
Yeah,
that
dude,
way also.
He's dope, dude. Dark Sheik's really cool. That's the guy we booked, I believe. I believe that he was doing a different gimmick for us. But, like, he's dope, man.
Yeah,
he can do all kinds. He's real versatile, you know?
Oh, yes. Amazing worker.
Yeah, but, like, another guy in the come-up that, like, everybody's going to be hearing about is Akira. And Akira, like, he worked with Malcolm for us. And he might have been a little banged up in that match, and then, like, people didn't see it. And then, like, I'm telling you, he just, like, right before the pandemic, it was like, this kid just, like, went balls to the wall, man. Like, he killed it at Insane 8, I guess. And then, like, there's a bunch of other stuff. Like, No Holds Barred, he's killing it. And that kid's on the call. I'm pretty sure, like, you know, that's somebody we're definitely going to be using in the future, you know. And the same with, like, Murdoch. Like, Murdoch, he's already been a stud, you know, in that game. And then Eric Ryan, we definitely bring him back. You know, we were booking him, like, he's a stud, you know.
I mean, all these guys, just watching them come up in the whole Midwest scene, it's nice to not just see deathmatch strictly in the Northeast, because for so long.
Yeah, we're
going to
keep it alive, man. Like, our big goal, my big goal is to actually do that. I want to do a deathmatch tournament. You know, it's just a matter of, like, the when and the where it's going to be and the hows, you know, like, putting it together. But we're going to definitely do it. It's, like, always been on our radar, you know, to do a deathmatch tournament. It's so, like you said, it's kind of starved in the area that you don't get to see that. And then when you see such watered-down wrestling, it's not that it's watered down. It's just, you know, when you have a limit to what you can do. You know, a deathmatch shows you can – you know what I mean? It's like – guys, when they fight, they cuss, they swear, they bleed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where the realism is, and it's like you're almost. It's so dangerous that you're so invested on both sides, because it's like, man, in the gist of it, it's like there's your boy out there fucking almost died too. You know, so it's like that's where the investment comes, where it's so such a real art form of pro wrestling. You know, it's badass. You know.
Yeah, and then the creativity, because there's. So there's things of props, different props in wrestling, but these are like to be able to have props on props on props that you take and you put together and you create structures, and just the creative side, the artistic side of creating things to make people just wince, just the thought of these things make people turn away in horror. That's what I love. I love when people just look at something and then turn away and don't want to look at it anymore, because they're just so tortured
away.
By it.
Yeah. It's wild, man. Yeah. It's like gets you in your emotions, you know. It pulls you into it. You know. That's one it helps, like, with the magic of pro wrestling, because with pro wrestling it's like a lot of kayfabe has been broken, you know, and a lot of things have been given away, and it's like with deathmatch wrestling, I think that's something that it helps bring it back, because you know that it's real as shit, you know.
There's realism to certain things. I like to give paper cuts, and I tend to try to paper cut people's eyes and watching like I'll always pause just to watch the crowd's response of turning away in horror right before I go to paper cut the guy's eye. And I like playing with people's emotions like that. With Chuck, I have Mr. Pointy. I have a large collection of organic deathmatch weapons that are all bone and teeth and claws and shit. And Mr. Pointy has a large badger claw on the end, and I was shoving that underneath Chuck's fingernails, which people didn't seem to take so well. They told me I was a sick fuck over at TKW. So
we got that too. We're gonna show you.
That's dope, man. That's so dope.
Oh, well,
one of these days we'll have to get Drexel
over
at Horror Slam.
Oh, man, for sure.
Yeah, we need to make that happen, guys. Drexel at Horror Slam.
Man, this is a Horror Slam guy. We need him in Detroit at Horror Slam.
We need him versus Briar,
and we need him versus Jeff King.
Dude, that would be a good one.
That's the match I want to see.
Let me see what we can do here. Let me see what we can do. Let's talk to the boss.
We got to make it happen. We all got to make it happen.
We'll make it happen.
We got to talk to the bosses over here. Let's see what she says.
Power of the pen.
The boss likes me. Maybe she'll talk to me.
Everybody likes her.
With my people having it with
she don't like you. Hey, the boss don't like Day-Day. She likes me.
Oh, hey, Briar likes her.
These are like these are adopted.
It's a love hate relationship, you see. If I'm mad at him and I yell at him, it's because I care about
you
him.
You love to hate him. Don't lie. You
I love
to
hate
him. Is all.
She does not hate me.
No, she loves to hate
when
you
screw up. I love everybody.
She loves me.
No.
You're
fine. Now you guys are fighting over mom's attention. She loves me more.
We love you either,
Brian. Friday, guys. Friday night too. Don't forget, man. Play Atlantis, man. It's gonna be rocking, man. He's gonna be.
We're gonna be there.
Yeah, he's
we're gonna be in the
really
house.
Hard this week. He redid our canvas, and at the same time, he's gonna unveil his brand new canvas, man. It looks so cool. It's a real sharp logo.
Oh yeah.
You heard
it here
first.
When he was talking about it.
Yeah, man. He showed me a picture of it. It's so sharp, man. It's like, wait till you see it. You'll be impressed.
I can't wait, man. It's going to be great.
Yeah,
everybody play Atlantis tomorrow. Show up for PWAS in Melvindale.
Yeah,
it's going to be a banger
really
show.
Zach Thomas is taking on the Pro Wrestling All-Stars heavyweight champ, the Dread King Logan, man. And I'm telling you, dude, both them guys pack a punch. It's like
that match was
style.
Great.
It was.
Yeah, I was kind of pissed off it ended the way
better.
It did.
Yeah,
but I am so excited to see that match again.
We're gonna be there most definitely to see it a second time because it deserves to have a winner for sure.
So let me ask you this, Briar, is the threat without Nate Mattson or Briar Wellington?
I don't know.
Come on.
Well, as long as there's somebody repping it, it's fine. It's like right now, Nate. In his own place. You know,
yeah, but
like,
the threat is no threat. The threat is nothing, is my point.
Oh,
even
just
and I'm a big fan of Alice Hightower.
It's different without the originals, for sure.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
For a lot of the fans. I mean, you got to have the originals, you know. It was.
But honestly, like, there is going to be a rehash. Like, we're going to, like, we're talking about
you,
it.
They'll
ooh,
all come
that's
together.
What we need. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to put it
that's
together.
Exactly.
So tell us this. Are you still a member of the threat?
Yeah. I am. Yeah.
I told you.
Okay. As he slicks the water
you.
Down.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You
so
heard
what
first,
about Nate?
Like what's that?
Is Nate Mattson still a member of the
threat? So it'd be me, Nate Mattson, and Rivera, the
Steve
only, and actually, Zach remained. No. So four.
Oh yeah,
four
Zach
Mayne.
Oh yeah, Zach.
The young boy. Yeah.
That is right. Why is he not representing the threat?
Right. I know. Well, he was at Bubba's. He just wrestled, so I think he's getting back into things.
Yeah, he's just taking some time off the whole COVID, you know.
It shook a lot of people up, you know. Like, some people had to just go this way, and it's like, you know what I mean? They when you're raised a certain way, sometimes you just gotta let you just go that way. You know what I mean? You follow the path of what everybody else is walking. You know, for me, it was just like, no way, dude. Like. I believe in it, that it's a real virus, but I'm not going to hide in my house, you know. I can't do that.
Yeah,
I think what it came down to is we had a government that was too busy fighting with each side to actually get shit
about what was
going on with its citizens.
Isn't it wild?
I've
like
got
all
friends
stuff
who
going
are doctors and scientists out here who have done a bunch of testing to it. And the fact that the average person doesn't realize that if you get COVID really bad, you get checked into the hospital, the first thing that they do is they put you on blood thinners. And why blood thinners is because for some reason COVID, it strikes your immune system and causes these little micro clots that what causes the heart attacks and strokes. And also
that
85 or 86%
of
85 to 86% of mice that have been given COVID all end up diabetic after they go through the having the virus in them. But the fact that our government was too busy trying to save their own ass and just hide it in hopes that nothing bad was going to happen.
Yeah,
and
then they fought with each other after the whole thing instead of working together. It's kind of weird, you know.
Down the country with no testing. They had no way to, and then they opened the country back up and still didn't have the testing and then expected it to be all fine. I don't know. It was so completely ass backwards.
Yeah,
so.
Shook everything up, man. Shook the system up. It's wild.
It certainly lasted
forever. Yeah, definitely, man. But it's, like, even wild how it impacted even, like, the change of how we watch wrestling, like, on television.
Yeah.
You know, it made such a wild impact.
The West Coast is shut down until 2021, guaranteed. And because we have commissions, at least up in Oregon and Washington, we couldn't even attempt to run an outlaw show.
As much as a lot of people can hate on the WWE and stuff and their product or whoever, Vince McMahon, what he's doing, like, if you think about it, though, it's like that dude found a way to do wrestling no matter fucking what, you know. Pardon my French, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you think about it. It's like, and get it to the fans.
Exactly. But my only problem is when you're a company that big, the laxness and the cheapness that they've gone through for their testing compared to AEW is absolutely just it's ridiculous. Because I've got
wrestling and industries, right? Industries are so bad. They're like the way wrestling is more like, you know what I mean? Like guys wrestling like hurt and stuff like that. And it's like it's going to cost you more to, like, go and get it fixed than it's just to just go for it, you know? So guys are going to be like, whatever, maybe I got it. I think that's what's going to end up happening. You know, guys are going to be like, well, I probably got it, but oh, fucking well, you know, like, I got to make some money. So, like, just get past the testing, you know, because, like, even with the steroid testing, I mean, come on, man. You know that there's still the guys using steroids and PEDs
you have to use the synthetic growth because that's not tested for.
Right.
There's rules around everything.
Yeah. It's like, because it's like there's UFC fighters, you know, it's like, wow, man, like how are these guys passing these tests? You know, that's what I'm interested in.
What it all comes down to is the almighty buck, because John Jones will forever have a job no matter what fucked up thing he does. It doesn't matter what he fails for, how many people he hits while he's fucked up, drunk on cocaine.
Yeah.
He could run over a baby, and Dana White is still going to book him because he makes so much money for them.
I'm waiting. Hey, now that we're on here, here's something cool. I've talked about this before even. But, dude, you know what fight he's talking about? I got a feeling he's going to pull off the John Jones versus Brock. I think he's going to pull that off.
I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think Brock just loves to use that as a negotiation for Vince.
It's just so much money. It's like it's 400. It's going to be at least a $400 million fight for Brock. I think he's going to want, like, Conor McGregor.
So what? How many months doesn't Brock have, like, 16 more months of a suspension that he has to pee for?
I forgot about his little thing. But that's funny talks, man. Hey, Dana White will use, like, throw it on the island. It's in Abu Dhabi.
He's got his own island to put it on. He doesn't have to go through a commission. It can be
a
non-sanctioned bout.
Yeah.
So.
That's dope, though, man. But, yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm going to get off here, man. I appreciate being on here, man. You guys are killing it, man. This is awesome, man, just to have a discussion about pro wrestling and fighting and just deathmatch wrestling in general, man. It was great talking
to
you.
We love you always, Briar. You know, you're the man. We love Rachel. We love Forrest Lam. And you guys, don't forget, October the 17th at the Drinking Saloon in Browntown, Michigan, Horace Lam. Man, they're going to have a banger show. You guys got to make your way. Get at Rachel Green on Facebook for tickets, and get at Briar if you want to. You get at us, and we'll get a hold of everybody.
Hey, remember, guys. Hey, you guys will laugh. Hey, mask on.
And bring those Reese's for Halloween.
And mask off. Baby.
It's Halloween, so Rachel wants some Reese's.
All right, you guys.
Everybody got to get Rachel some Reese's at the door. She'll be there waiting for the Reese's. You know, we're going to be the first one to get your Reese's, though. We're going to be the first ones. Rated R Wrestling Podcast is going to bring your whole bag.
All right. Good night, guys.
He's holding you to that,
good
bro.
Talk to you guys.
I got
we'll
this.
We'll be in touch.
All right. Talk soon.
Yes. Contact Rachel Green is the best way. Yes. You can get a hold of her through Facebook or Facebook Messenger. She don't answer Day Day for like hours, but she answers me like immediately.
Okay, I'll remember.
You suck it. Our next caller don't like suckers because he sucks. Yeah. So guys, everybody get at Rachel Green for the tickets for the October 17th show.
and Drexel, hopefully for the booking. Be excited to see you, man,
in the death match.
That's right. We haven't had a match announcement for the championship yet. I mean, we got one. But
he's in a tag match with a mystery partner versus Jeff King and his mystery partner. So
yeah,
who the mystery going to be?
Yeah.
We'll figure that out.
It could be the fucking boogeyman.
Oh, yeah. Boogeyman himself.
So, Drexel, when we seen you at TKW, man, you had a lot of stuff at your merch table. How can people get a hold of you to get a hold of your merch?
For the merch, the shirts and stuff are all up at prowrestlingtees.com/DevilDrexel or Derek Drexel, one of the two. If you just do a Google search for me, all that stuff pops up. Find me on social media everywhere under The Devil Drexel on Instagram and on Twitter is probably the best place to find me. And then at any of the shows and stuff, as far as the posters and getting autographs, I hate going to the post office, so I don't sell that much stuff personally via mail. So unless I've got a company to sell it for me and make it easy, I tend to just sell stuff at the shows. So, but people want to hit me up, maybe I'll make an exception and make a run over to the mail spot, send them out stuff. Just hit me up on social media. I've got 3D posters. I've got pins. Also Prestige Wrestling, if you go to their website, they have a really badass Misfits inspired shirt. It's the Earth AD cover, but instead it's me and it says King of Northwest Hardcore. So I'll actually have some of those at the ICW event coming up in October 17th out in New Jersey.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we can't. Hey, we're going to be watching you live on Fight TV, that's for sure. We will be watching you.
Oh, this one's on IWTV. This will be on IWTV.
Oh, IWTV. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yep.
IWTV. We'll be watching that also. But I'm ready. I'm ready to see that match.
If people don't have IWTV and you do want to sign up and you want to get 5 free days, just put in Drexel. Drexl is the promo code, and that'll get you 5 free days also.
There we go.
Hell yeah. Can you give that promo code one more time?
Drexel, Drexel.
That's correct. Yep, just Drexel. Yeah.
Yeah, 5 free days, guys. You got to.
We're going to post that.
Yeah, we're going to post that on Facebook. That's okay with you.
Yeah, so I mean, if you've never seen a no-holds-barred show, a ICW no-holds-barred, then I suggest using that code on October 15th or 16th, and then you'll get on the 16th, you got Pit Fighter X, which I don't know if you saw last month, Pit Fighter X. Basically, they've taken an MMA cage and they just put it on the floor, and then they throw deathmatch tools in there and throw couple badass hosses to beat the shit out of each other, and it's really awesome.
I love that you call
that's
them
gonna
cool.
be on that Friday
right,
on the
yeah.
16th, and then the 17th is gonna be the all-out no holds barred number 7 with if you haven't seen that, they've replaced the ring ropes with chains, and in the corners there's nice little platforms in order for people to jump off of or being thrown off of, and it's going to be the Devil Drexel versus an angry little honey badger named Neil Diamond Cutter.
That's going to be great.
I'm very excited to see that.
I will be
We'll be watching
doing the IWTV thing. There was something else, like last weekend, it was on IWTV. I didn't even know they had a trial that I had considered ordering.
Oh,
I forget what it was.
H2O, I believe, was on that. They get great shows on there. Yep.
Talking about
I mean, if you're into, like, the crazy Mexican stuff, the Zona 23 is just, like, all I think the entire time I'm watching those matches is how many fucking tetanus shots do these guys have to get? Because everything is wrong in that fucking junkyard. It's so gross. I just picture myself in the middle of the match and, like, stabbing someone with something, and then I turn and lick it like I do because I tend to lick blood off of things, and then just tasting, like, the iron of the blood and the iron of the rust, and then I just sit there, like, the rest of the match, I'm sure I would just be spitting out flakes of rust. It would just turn into something like that. I once did a promo in South America when I was working for a company called Luchando down in Paraguay, and we shot a promo in a
a cemetery, and there's cemeteries down there. They have the big, like, outdoor, like, little the buildings and stuff, and a lot of them have been grave robbed and things over the years. So, like, doors will be open and bodies will be out, and you'll just see bones sitting around. When I was cutting this promo, I just happened to look over, and there was an old wooden cross there. And I picked up the cross, and I started playing with it during the promo. And then by the end of the promo, I realized that I had started chewing on this God knows how old fucking wooden cross that had been sitting out in the cemetery. And the promo ends. And I just sat there just dumbfounded at what the fuck is wrong with you as I'm spitting out this shit thinking, what disease did I just fucking catch down in South America? So, I'm kind of childlike. I like to put things in my mouth. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
Jesus Christ.
Hey, we all have our vices, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. That's probably why I lick a lot of referees and ring announcers also. I don't know. I thought things might have to change now with me too, because when everyone was complaining about being harassed, I immediately thought of how many people I've harassed, but I've always done it out in the ring in front of a crowd, so I guess that made it okay.
That's right.
So is there anything else before we go? Because we've got a couple minutes left. Is there anything else you want to say to anybody or Neil Cutter himself before your match?
Neil Cutter, you seem like an angry little badger, and that's really kind of cool. And I'm just excited to go out there and play with someone who's just as stupid and just as crazy as I am. So we'll just have to see what happens. And, you know, I wish I could tell you what weapons we were going to have out there. I don't know. I do know that I'm bringing my organic deathmatch tool. So I think that might be the debut for Nubbins, my newest piece, which is actually, it's a small, probably like maybe like a forearm size bone, and attached to that is a alligator jaw, one half of an alligator jaw that still has teeth in it. And then attached to the back of that jaw are these big cow molar type teeth that is really great for grinding. So I can use it for like slicing and grinding both. And I'm really excited. I've named him Nubbins, and I'm really excited for him to debut at ICW. And then as far as IWTV, checking out Without a Cause coming up. Actually, I believe we're going to be doing some filming very soon in the next week. But they're going to be doing a new like little mini TV show of wrestling without a crowd that they're going to be calling The Underground, and kind of giving some of the younger guys of Pacific Northwest a chance to get highlighted a little bit more along with other guys that normally were for Without a Cause. And they're going to be doing a show that'll be popping up on IWTV, I would say, in the next month sometime. That should be pretty fun. I know the first tapings, I believe I have 3 matches, so I should be pretty busy.
That's awesome.
And besides that, I don't know, just you want to get a hold of me and just look up The Devil Drexel. I'm currently taking bookings around the country. I would love to get back out of this country because I used to spend a lot of time up in Canada, but they won't allow me to do that right now. So I want to travel the world as much as possible, travel around the United States. So hit me up. Let's work out a deal and bring a little homicidal art to your wrestling show.
Yes. So again, we appreciate you taking our invitation, taking your time to come on to the show.
Yeah, thank you, man. And you stayed on with us for a long time.
We would love to have you back on. A ton of fun.
Hopefully, you know, before your match, we can get Neil the Diamond Cutter and you actually on the show before that.
Well, if it happens, if not, then hopefully, definitely, I'll be in touch. As soon as I'll be coming back to Michigan and I can help promote whatever shows are going to be happening out there at that point. Hopefully you'll see me at Horror Slam sooner than later.
That's right. Absolutely. Definitely. That's most definitely.
You have a good day, gentlemen.
Thank you, man. You have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow.
What a cool guy. You guys got any questions, give us a call.
Anybody from Ohio want to give us a call? Area code 646-668-8672. You guys give us a call. We're ready. We got 5 minutes, but these last four minutes will be for you guys. Tune in. Stay tuned for the Gorilla Position with Steve Ahrens and the Macho Ghost. They have a great show coming up, and Martez is going to be a part of that show. So what's going on, Brother Martez? How you doing tonight?
You going to put him on the spot after.
I'm doing good.
We're going to word to him for an hour and 20 minutes, and we're going to cry.
Wait, hold on, man. It was a whole thing going on, man. You can't. Quit putting me on the spot, damn it.
We love you, Mark.
Hey, we love you, man.
I love y'all, too, man. I love y'all, too, 100%. It was a good show, man. I'm just honestly, please don't say nothing nice to me. Let me say everything nice to you. Like, maybe we need to turn heel on each other for a second. But no, this was a great
Greg turned heel on me as soon as he stepped over here. He was like, oh, I'm going to turn heel.
He just didn't pay attention. I ain't saying I'm still the same guy. Fuck Kinstrap Jesus.
Dude.
Fuck Nate Matson.
Dude.
Same guy.
Okay, Nate Matson, okay.
Tanner Nix, I've come around slightly.
Tanner Nix is great, but you know, you got to look at Chinstrap Jesus. Chinstrap Jesus is the future of the wave.
He hired a really good manager.
That should tell you something. Okay,
yeah.
I'm admitting he's a great manager. You got to admit that Chinstrap Jesus is great too.
Okay. Fair enough. That's a fair trade. And
okay.
Was that hard?
Jeremiah Goldman, did you hear that? Jeremiah Goldman.
Hard.
But you still lost me in the drinking contest. Film is proof. Proof is in my pudding. I beat you if it was a one-on-one match.
Absolutely. I got to say, I will admit that, too. That, you know, I seen the footage. I showed it to you, like, man, look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. My 10-year-old took the video at ringside right there. And so make sure you watch Day Day. And Jeremiah.
What's going on, brother?
I know it's only 3 minutes to go, but did you all want to take the Rod Lee call?
Yes, sir. All
right, he's going up.
This line is sucker free for Mr. Rod Lee. There's something.
Hey, what up,
guys?
How y'all been?
Oh man, we came in.
Thank you
for
calling,
man.
Hey, yeah, sorry, my phone died earlier. And I was like, crap. Let me try calling back when it finally got the juice.
So can we expect to see you tomorrow
at
Pro Wrestling All-Stars, man? You've been stacking up some wins. You won that triple threat a couple weeks ago.
Unfortunately, I can't make it. I have some prior engagements, but I will be at the Oktoberfest show, the one next week.
Nice.
Okay. So, hey, is there any championships you have your eye on? If you could challenge tomorrow,
who would you challenge?
Would you challenge Tanner? Would you challenge TJ or the winner of the triple threat? Or would you hit straight
for
the
heavyweight? He would go for the Dread King.
I'd
definitely go for Dread King. Mostly because I'm pretty sure I don't fit in the other weight divisions.
Hey, come on, man. Jay Maynard isn't no bigger than you.
Hey, wait, but you got to think about
it. He was the junior heavyweight champion.
But still, that's true.
But I still want the big gold. I would go after Dread King.
Yeah, you keep it sucker-free.
He's sucker-free.
Yeah.
He ain't a sucker.
He ain't no sucker. He ain't. You wouldn't want the doubt.
That's like him trying to go for a sugarless drink. You know what I'm saying? That's a sucker.
Exactly.
I got to give it to you, man. You're probably one of three guys from Ohio I got love for.
Yeah, for damn sure on that one.
Hell yeah. I'm glad I can represent Ohio and make you guys proud.
Man, we love you. We can't wait to see you next week.
Hell yeah.
So are you going to be at XICW?
I'm going to be there. I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing anything, but I will definitely be there to enjoy the festivities.
Okay, so we can have a drink then. We can enjoy the festivities.
Hell yeah.
Damn right. We got to get him a drink. Rod Lee gets the drink.
Meet me at the bar, Mr. Lee.
Meet us at the bar. We're going to have
I'll get you a sucker-free drink.
And we want
by the lovely Miss Jenna.
And we want the smoke.
All right.
Oh, and we need some Happy Harper ice cream, too. We need some of that in our life, too.
So
do. Oh, you
so drink,
do. Make sure
ice
you
cream,
up
and smoke.
That Rodriguez raspberry cheesecake. It's delicious.
Raspberry cheesecake.
I have not had the raspberry
cheesecake. I got to get
that,
some
dude.
Of that.
I'm a big cheesecake
guy.
I am too.
You got to say the name right. It's Rodriguez raspberry cheesecake.
Rodriguez
raspberry
cheesecake.
Got it. Rodriguez raspberry. I'm absolutely going to check that out. So when that came to pass, was this – were you involved in the choosing of that flavor?
I was actually. I had messaged Josh showing him my interest. I was just thinking raspberry, but apparently they had a raspberry flavor. So he came back with the raspberry cheesecake, and I was like, dude.
Yes, the raffling raspberry.
So, Mr. Ron Lee, we're actually out of time, but we would like to invite you next week to be our special guest for the show.
You can promote your show.
Yes,
your show is coming up that weekend too, man.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. I'll message you guys after this. We can get that going. I'll definitely be on.
Okay, absolutely, man. It'll be a sucker free show next Thursday.
Next week is a sucker free show. So if you're a sucker, stay away.
No suckers next week.
No suckers next week.
Stay sucker free.
Stay tuned for the Gorilla Position
with Steve Aaron
and the Macho Ghost.
This has been the Rated R Wrestling Podcast of Southwest Texas. My brother, Greg Mark. And we were a sucker free for a minute with Mr. Rod Lee, which will be returning next week. So next week's a sucker free show. So from the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, we love you guys.
Peace.
See y'all later. Bye.
And the Southwest Texas Day Day Cruise. Yeah. Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Nonstop action, interested, we got that. The Southwest Texas Day Day Cruise. Greg, the Mark, and Martez, they them dudes. Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Nonstop action, interested, we got that. The Southwest Texas Day Day Cruise.
Okay.
Greg, the Mark, and Martez, they them dudes.
Yo, it's your boy, Day Day Cruise. I'm out here making moves. How the hell can I lose when I'm the one that made the rules? All I see is the money. You can call this pay-per-view. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast is what we do. Let me introduce Greg, the Mark, and Martez. L. I run with winners, homie. I can't fail. You say you undefeated in a match. We gon' see. Open Talk Radio, the Flash 313. From WWE to NXT. All Elite Wrestling, we discuss these. We just trying to make a positive impact. We putting over every single wrestler who did that. Welcome to your death
Welcome
match.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Nonstop action, interested, we got that. The Southwest Texan, Day Day Cruise. Greg, DeMarc, and Martez, they them dudes.